you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 47. And if you were tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, this might seem like one of those, is it Bill Murray Groundhog Day, where it's like a repeat? Well, this is a portion of the scripture that was read yesterday, but we're going to talk a little more about it. And we're going to talk about one of the key factors in here, repentance. It's really a good word, even though sometimes it exposes our sins. It helps us recognize we're flawed, that we don't measure up, that we don't deserve to get into heaven, but it's a process. It's something that God teaches and we need to know about, because we have to turn from our wicked ways. But thank you, God, that He sent Jesus, the Savior, the sinless one, to do the work on our behalf. Because even if we repented and we're all clean, we still don't measure up. We don't get into heaven by what we do. It's by what we receive that Jesus did on our behalf. But anyways, reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 47.
Then he opened his mouth so they could understand the scriptures. Jesus told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That is Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 47.
And that was the voice of Pastor Mike Smith, who joins me again on today, the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. We didn't get enough of his testimony in yesterday, and I asked him back because I'm getting to know him. In fact, it was last Saturday at the BMIC, the Businessmen in Christ breakfast, kind of luncheon, if you will, where he spoke, and he had us captivated because he shared some heartfelt storytelling about how great God is, and yet how we need to recognize, we need to repent and turn from our sins, and how oftentimes the church maybe isn't proclaiming that message. They're getting kind of wishy-washy, or they just don't address that there is sin in the world, that there is a devil, that there is a destiny for those people that don't want to follow Christ, that don't want to see Him as Lord and Savior. So he touched on many different things, and so yesterday's broadcast, he shared a lot about his family background and growing up, where his dad was raising him, and yet how he met the beloved Lisa, who he married, and through both of them and through adoptions and foster care, I think he said 10 children. And you might have heard some of that story some months back when I had Lisa in the studio. By the way, this isn't an aside, and I never promote political parties, or I don't have any congressmen or senators or politicians during Mark and Friends, unless they're just going to share their faith journey. But Lisa did that, and I so appreciate her passion for the community and for children. But she is running in the 96th district, so those in and around the Decatur, Springfield, Mount Auburn area, if you see her name, she's somebody that I know is a faithful follower of Jesus and is passionate about serving the King and is running for that district. But she's one of those few politicians that I will single out because I know of her faith journey. And we had her on some months ago, but Mike Smith married her some years ago, and he told a lot of that story on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, so you can hear that at greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So we won't reiterate some of that storytelling, but currently Pastor Mike Smith serves at the Remnant Church in Blue Mound and also Berea Christian in Nyadic. So he's juggling between those two churches and other ministry work that he's called to do. And he's also involved with a revival, which includes a number of churches in September. More to say about that in the coming days, but he's busy serving the Lord. And so, Pastor Mike, we only touched a little bit on your faith journey, and I wanted to talk a little about that and the importance for all of us to understand what true repentance is. But how did the Lord get a hold of your heart? Because yesterday you mentioned that you were following Him and then kind of fell away from Him and then reconnected later on as your wife started going to church and she said, "You're going to join me." And then conviction fell on you and you reconnected with the Lord. But recognizing that there's listeners that have never understood that there's a God that loves them, that cares about them, this might be kind of a foreign concept. So what does it mean that he led you and then you kind of rejected him or fell away or ignored, and then to have that vibrant personal relationship with this God who created the universe?
Well, let me take it back to the time God was calling me, and I was starting to go back to church, but I was just attending. I wasn't really into it. I was bored. I didn't really understand, you know, I'd heard it all. I knew it all, and it really wasn't what I wanted to hear, because I was living my life for myself, and I was truly enjoying it, because though we don't like to admit it, sometimes sin's fun. And sometimes we let the fun overcome the man. And I think I had done that. I remember one time I had drove to play in Champaign, Illinois at a club, and they called it Black Mass Sunday. And they had bands in there, and we were drinking, carrying on. And I was driving home to Decatur from Champaign on 72. And if you've been on that stretch of interstate, you know there by Monticello that there's an area there where if you get past the guardrail, it's a long ways down. Well, I was flying down through there, had the radio cranked up, singing along, carrying on. And in front of me was the biggest deer. It looked like a elephant standing in front of me. And I thought at that time that I would ask God to save me. So I said, okay, Lord. And this was all in slow motion because that's how it seems like it happened. And I said, Lord, if you let me miss this deer, I will be in church. I'm going to love you more. I'm going to do all these things for you, God. Just help me miss this deer. Don't let it move. And I swerved. I went around the deer. Well, I'm halfway home. By the time I got home, I was lucky if I was going to go to church at Easter, you know. And I thought of the movie The End. If you remember the Burt Reynolds movie, wherever he does the same thing, and then he gets to land, and as he gets closer to safety, he starts, you know, unnegotiating with God. But that's not how we come to Christ, see? That was how I thought I came to Christ. And I think what it was whenever the death of my friend, good friend, drummer, and we went to the funeral, and I seen what is the end for him. And I thought back to my upbringing, and I thought, that's not where I want to be. So I started moving towards God. And of course, we found a new drummer, and the magazines and stuff said we were going to be awesome. We were going to be great. And we're even more. And I was like, no, we're not. I mean, what came together, and this happens many times with bands, they click, and then this never did click for me. And I was going to church, and then I would go to practice. Well, I was getting more involved in church, so I was getting out later. And so I showed up to practice, and we had, you know, there was always people hanging around the practice room, and I was sitting there. And he said, what are you always late for? And I said, well, I go to church. And in the most demonic laugh I think I've ever heard, he started laughing at me. And when he laughed at me, the Holy Spirit just burst in my heart and said, this is you, not this other nonsense. And I walked away. I took my stuff. I never returned. I told him, I don't want any of the money. I don't want anything from it. I love you all. I've enjoyed our relationship, and you will always have a friend in me. But I cannot no longer do this. And through that, then God just began to move in me. And then, as I told earlier, you know, then I became a minister and did all these things. And it was a lot had to do with my wife and my dad. My dad was very, very much part of keeping me on the straight and narrow. And I think that when we say that we come to Christ, what it really means is that we humble ourselves and realize that there are greater things in this world than us. And it comes all down to, are you prepared for the gospel? Because I think too many people show up to church and they're not prepared. And that's why Saturday I spoke of the sower, the parable of the sower. Everybody wants to talk about everybody else and not themselves. You need to put yourself in as the soil. So what did you do to prepare to accept the word before you came to church on Sunday? Now, some of you probably left church on Sunday and were like totally blessed. You're just full of fire and you're ready to go for the week. Others of you walked out and you're just like, that was a waste of my time. Well, it's because you didn't prepare. Because see, the Holy Spirit only works when we let him prepare, just like in the sower. The first path is just beat down and it's hardened. In other words, you're showing up just to be part of the church. You're not really trying to find God in it. Or find what he wants for you. And then you've got the one that falls in the rocks. And of course, you're the one that shows up for church. And then you're talking about things of this world. And then you hear the word and then you walk outside and you're talking about things of this world and you forget what God had for you. And then, of course, there's the ones that spend a whole week in their Bibles, in prayer and in being ready, and God just fills them. Now, does that sound like that you have to earn your salvation? No, you don't have to earn it. Jesus Christ died for each and every man's salvation, but you have to verify it with your life. His little brother, who I just can't imagine, I've always loved that joke or that idea of Mary yelling at James going, why couldn't you just be more like your brother Jesus? And that's what you feel like, I think. When you go to church, you don't feel like, you know, people don't understand me, people don't do this. But the whole thing is, the church isn't there for your feelings. Church is there for one thing, and that's to preach repentance, because that's what Jesus' entire ministry, as we just read in Luke, was about. That we will preach repentance in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you look at all the great, in fact, the first great sermon recorded in Acts was not Jesus is love and this hippie Jesus nonsense is being preached in some of these churches. No, he used the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit went inside those people and it convicted them to the point they said, what must we do to be saved? And what did he say? Did he say, hey, just go to church and we've got coffee and donuts in the hall and we've got all these things and everything's wonderful? No, he said, repent. So in other words, you need to know what's good and what's bad to God. And to repent means you're going to turn away from the things that God hates, which is sin. Not the people that are sinning, but it's when sin becomes the God of your life. In other words, what are the most important priorities in your life? Family, God, your job, your hobby, your music, whatever it may be. We have created all these gods outside of our God, the real God, Jehovah, and they take up parts of our heart. And the thing about it I enjoy is the whole idea that God was able to teach me through what most people say, oh my gosh, you went through it like Job. And I said, no, my family's still alive. Job lost everything, his family, everything. God did not take me that way. God saved my family because I believe that there's people in my family that will continue to carry the message that he put in my heart. And that's what it's about. We need to raise up this generation that's going now to understand repentance and sin. We can't justify sin. In fact, I seen some lady minister on the TV that basically said she couldn't wait to die and meet God and ask him why that he used such terrible words to describe her relationship with her wife. And why that would be an abomination, God should have never used that word. And I just hate to tell people that you will not have a voice. It isn't a debate when you're judged. Jesus will judge. And he even told us about the goats and the sheep. He's going to divide us. You won't have a voice. And Jesus thought so many times about it that he didn't describe heaven, just bare minimum, other than no pain, no sorrow. But he did describe hell multiple times. And most people don't realize, too, that he will actually experience it on the cross whenever all the sins of mankind. He died for my sins. He carried my sin. And then he holds it not against me. And there's too many people out there that say, well, I'll go to church when I get it right. I got to do this. No, you're trying to hold on to the sin in your life and try to justify it into God. You've got to let God come in and clean house. Just like they did at Passover days, remember? Those women had to go in the house and clean every bit of yeast out. Now, they didn't have marble floors and other things. They had dirt floors. You've never swept a dirt floor, I don't think. But they had to clean it up. That's what you got to do with your heart. You got a closet. I guarantee you do. You need to open that closet and say, you know what, Lord? I need this out of my life. You know there's something holding you back. You know there's something that you're trying to hide from yourself. But you can't hide it from God, because we hold on to the promise that is what? That he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there with us, and he will love us, even though he knows that we'll fail. Because God doesn't say you got to become perfect. God asks you to what? Try. And you got to try. You can't be like my kids when I tell them to go find your shoes. You know how hard they try. If you raise kids, you know exactly what I'm doing. They walk in the room, they come back, and they say, well, I can't find them.
Yeah.
Did you look for them? And that's the same thing with Jesus. You expect him to come to your house, walk in your house, and then come and do this. No, try. I'm telling you, God will not leave it empty. If you truly will try, to find him and establish that relationship.
Well, that's why I want to bring you back to two words I wrote down, preparation and expectation. Are we preparing for that Sunday message? Are we sleeping on Saturday night? Are we getting some rest? Are we going to bed early? You know, because there's been times I've gone to church and I've been really tired because I was up really late. I wasn't up late partying, but I was up watching movies or doing whatever out and about.
Welcome to Mark's Confession Hour.
Yeah, that's right. But also, do we come not only prepared to receive a message, to hear from God because we're attentive, but do we come with expectation? Do we recognize this God loves us and cares for us and wants to speak through that pastor, give us a message to fortify us on our faith journey or to bring healthy conviction? And healthy conviction always leads us toward God. Condemnation comes from the evil one and has us run from God. But I love healthy conviction because it's like, oh, Lord, yeah, I fail in that. But it makes me cling to Jesus more, which is always a good thing. So I never mind healthy conviction.
Well, Proverbs, almost all of Proverbs, if you read it, that's what it talks about.
Yeah.
And shame comes from the devil, not from God.
Right.
You don't shame yourself. And when you're out there trying to spread the gospel for those that are, you know, that are saved and they're like, man, I just can't seem to talk to anybody. First and foremost, look in the mirror and grant the people that you meet the same mercy mm-hmm. and grace you grant that person in the mirror. Mm-hmm. When we screw up, do we start beating ourselves with hammers or with the Bible over the head? No. Well, guess what? They messed up too.
Yeah.
And now you're there to what? Through love, mm-hmm. which love is discipline, and love involves repentance, and love involves kindness. But that does not mean that we change God's mind of what he said is sin. Mm-hmm. And here's what it is. And that's my job. My job is not to come to your house. People have said, man, after the service, they're like, man, it seems like you were looking in my window all week. I'm like, no, you just met the Holy Spirit's what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And these people that say, well, I just don't feel like the Holy Spirit, and they're waiting for some goofy sign. You know, well, God, if you'd make that light turn green right there, I would believe that you are real. Well, Jesus himself said, you know, an adulterous nation, another nation, another thing, you're seeking a God that isn't God. Mm. You're seeking this false God, this thing made of iron or made of marble or precious metals that you could hold in your hand. But this God is no. Our God is everywhere at all times,
right,
including in our hearts. And that's a very important thing because I think that the church is full of people that got minds full of God, but they do not transfer that to their heart.
Mm.
We got preachers out here preaching they love Jesus, but if you really listen to them, they hate God. They hate the things the Father hates. You know, the Father hates these things. And I think that we will pay.
Well, we opened up the program with a reading out of Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to close out our program asking for some of your thoughts. But beginning at verse 45 of Luke chapter 24 says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. So here's a little plug. Listening friend, memorize the scriptures, read the scriptures. That's the Holy Bible. That's God's word.
Amen.
It's his love letter. It's his instruction manual. It's how he's worked through humankind through the centuries and how he'll work into the future. So know your scriptures. And then it goes on. He told them, this is what is written. So referring again to the scriptures. And this is Jesus. These are words, some of you with your red letter Bible, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So in our closing couple minutes, talk just a little more about the fact that Jesus Christ, he came to this earth, he suffered, he died, but he rose again, he will return. So why can we have hope in this Lord Jesus Christ?
Jesus was there in the beginning. In the first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning. And in the beginning, there was Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And he was there from the beginning, and he knew when God called on him to come down here, what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he even sweat blood. He was so stressed in the human body that he sweat blood. But he did ask his Father, if this doesn't have to happen, I would go along with that. But if it's your will, Lord, I'll do it. So he knew what would happen then, and he went and he crawled on the cross. They didn't crucify him. He gave up his life for us. And I think that you can say what you want about Mel Gibson, but I think the Passion of the Christ showed just how brutal that was. and what he went through for us, and also how much God hates sin. And he gives us now this faith passage that we have into heaven. And I think that we don't take it serious. Everybody that's listening right now, I would ask that you just pray for God to send someone into your life that will teach you the truth. And if you're not getting it at your church, you need to go somewhere else. And if your church is doing it, you need to invite people to that church. Because if they don't hear it, how can they ever see it? And then be that light, as it says, be the light. And I just ask that everybody that hears my voice today would truly lift up the light that is given them through the Holy Spirit and be examples to those that are lost.
Well, this past Saturday, you referenced the John 3:16, and listening friend, God loves you. He created you. He designed you. You're not just a happenstance because of primordial slime years ago came together and eons of time happened, and then here you are. There's a designer behind the universe. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. God sent his best, his one and only son, his beloved son, to die for our sins. We deserve the punishment. We fall far short. Even the best of us that maybe have done many things right, maybe go to church, you tithe, you volunteer, you do good work. Those are filthy rags. I'm telling you, they don't measure up. You have to be sinless. You have to be perfect. But Jesus came and he died for our sins. That was God's demonstration of the greatest love that could ever be given. And he's given it and offering it to you today as you recognize yourself as a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm flawed. I don't measure up. But I recognize I'm a sinner, and I recognize I needed Jesus, and I recognize him as Lord and Savior. He took away my sin, and so he would do that for you. So, Pastor, in our closing minute, pray for that person that maybe their heart is stirring. They said, is it that easy? I can just ask Jesus into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. He could take away my sin. What would they pray?
Father God, I just ask that you just open the eyes of their hearts, for they know if they're saved. We all know. And Father God, if there's somebody here that doesn't even know what we're speaking of, maybe Jesus has always been something that they thought is evil, or that the Bible was just a book of don'ts, instead of what it is it's a manual for mankind to live in peace with God. And it's that simple. There's nothing that God takes away from you that is good, because he is good and he is love. So Father God, I just ask for a blessing. Just pour it out of this radio right now onto those people that have doubted, have denied, and think that God isn't real. And today is the day that they just ask Jesus, hey, I need you. I need you to help. I need you to heal me. I need you to change me. And most of all, most people just need to be loved. And Father God, a love that is true and just and righteous. And Father God, just keep everyone safe as they struggle through this life. And most of all, Father God, help them realize that he does not expect perfection. For if he did, Jesus Christ would not have to come to this earth. He came to cover over us because all men have fallen short and sinned. And even those that are pastors or anyone else are asking for forgiveness every day and repenting every day, because we deal with sin each and every day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Listening friend, the scriptures are clear. James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll come near to you. God loves you. He cares for you. And he showed that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mike Smith with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.